I don't have a particular text to preach on per se this morning. I will have a starting text here in a moment. There is, as I said, no particular text this morning. All of you know that recently Paul and Paula and myself and Penny were in St. Croix with missionaries Daniel Parks and Peter Guerrero. I don't know if I'm saying Peter's last name correctly. He even spelled it out for me when we were down there, and I still couldn't say it. But Peter Guerrero. Think about this. Consider God Almighty's creation. Think about what the psalmist said about man, God's creation. A part of God's creation. The crowning part of God's creation.
Yes, sir.
When God created man and the woman out of man, he said it is very good.
Amen.
Very good. And this is what the psalmist says a little bit about that. He says in verse 14 of Psalm 139, I will praise thee. And then he gives one of the reasons. Just one of the reasons. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
The human creature is an amazing thing.
Yes, sir.
Circulatory system. Mm-hmm. Electrical impulses. Yeah. Nervous system. Digestive system. And our ability to communicate with one another.
Yes, sir.
Our ability to, at least in a natural way, feel compassion for one another. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. But sadly, this is what very few people understand here. But the psalmist understood it, and I believe some of us do. And that my soul knoweth right well. Isn't man a marvelous thing? A marvelous thing. But also the universe, all that's here that we can see and taste and touch and enjoy. And Joe, even now we have telescopes that can look at least at what they say way out into space and see all these marvelous things. Think of the universe and our natural view of it. Listen to Psalm 119. Listen to what the psalmist there says here. The heavens declare the glory of God.
Amen.
And the firmament showeth his handiwork.
Yes,
and the psalmist is not trying to prove anything. He's stating this as an understood fact.
Amen.
You see, we don't have to prove God created this world. This world proves it itself.
Exactly.
We're just declaring it. Look at what he says. Day unto day, that is every day you get up and you see God's creation. Day unto day uttereth speech.
Yes.
And night unto night,
yes,
showeth knowledge. Not our knowledge,
no.
His knowledge.
Amen.
There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Think of this. Even, and I don't know that there are too many places anymore that's not been touched by probably European feet, but think in the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa. Even there, men and women recognize that there is this higher power somewhere.
Yes, sir. It's true.
Now, they may have denigrated into the worship of snakes and beasts and trees or whatever.
Yeah.
But this knowledge, this understanding, and those are probably not the best words, but this is ingrained by God in the hearts of all men and women. And I do agree with one preacher who said there are no true atheists.
Exactly.
Yeah. A true atheist would not complain about God. How many people complain about Santa Claus?
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah.
How many people rail against Santa Claus? Huh? Why? Because we know it's a figment of men's imagination.
Exactly.
Things we came up with for whatever reasons.
Yeah.
There are no true atheists. The fool has said in his heart, not that there is no God. No, the fool has said in his heart, no God. He says no to God.
Exactly.
Their line, verse 4, their line is gone out through all the earth. We're not debating this, the psalmist said. This is the way it is. And their words, to the end of the world, in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Look, our sun has its place. And we have our place. And someone says, men have argued, what is the center of the universe? Jesus Christ is the center of the universe. That's what it's all about. The center of the universe has nothing to do with geography. It has to do with its creator. Its creator. Listen to what was said in the book of Job. Job 26 and verse 7. Job 26 and verse 7. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place. These people understood that. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
We know that up there in the north, there's nothing. Nothing. Ice.
Yeah.
Whatever land is there is covered by ice. And look, and hangeth the earth upon what? Nothing. Now I know, what's his name? The very wise, intelligent man said, we're all kept here by gravity. That's not what this book says. Now gravity's there.
Yeah.
But this earth is hung upon what? Nothing.
That's right.
Nothing. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? These things reveal to us that the Lord is to be worshipped.
Amen.
Now, granted, the natural creation, the glory of the natural creation, does not define to us how God is to be worshipped.
Exactly.
Therein is
right.
The problem for fallen man.
Yes,
but
sir.
It does declare that God is to be worshipped.
Amen.
Now listen to what Isaiah said. Isaiah chapter 45. And you know these passages. Isaiah chapter 45, it says this, verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. And that's why it has since its creation. Look, I am the Lord and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Now we start to get instruction. Assemble yourselves and come. How important is assembling? It is essential. It is essential. Those who don't come, those who just show up on occasion, don't worship God. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near. How?
Yeah.
Together.
Amen.
Now, yes, we should draw near to God privately.
Yes, sir.
But the most important drawing near is together.
Amen.
Together. Why did Christ say, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst? Is he not in a single believer who approaches his throne seeking mercy and grace? Of course he is. But he lays special emphasis on this togetherness. Look, assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations, that have no knowledge, that set up the wood, the graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. That's not the right way to worship God.
Exactly.
You see it?
Yeah.
That's not the right way. As a matter of fact, Paul in chapter 1 calls it the perversion of the truth.
Exactly.
Look, tell ye, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. And here it is, a just God.
Amen.
And a Savior.
Amen.
That is not the God that's being preached in most so-called pulpits today.
You're right.
You will not hear them deal with God being a just God and a Savior.
Amen.
Look, there is none beside me. Here's what God says. Look unto what? The creation?
No.
Look after creation. Yes, but look unto me.
Amen.
And be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And I swear on it.
Amen.
The next verse. I swear on it. You see it? I swear on it, God says. Now with that in mind, consider this. As I said, this is my message is about our St. Croix experience. West Virginia, I read, is made up of 24,181 square miles. That's a pretty good chunk of land. Mercer County, one county in West Virginia, one of the most, I guess it'd be the most southern county, and probably not the biggest county, I've read, is made up of, well, we got it on the internet, 421 square miles. That's a pretty good chunk of land. I wouldn't mind to own that much, but I don't want to pay taxes on that much, so I'm not seeking to own that much. Think about this. St. Croix, an island in the Caribbean Sea, the only U.S. island territory that's actually in the Caribbean Sea completely. All the others border the Atlantic and the Caribbean. St. Croix, that island, is made up of 84 square miles. It's like a speck. It's a one-fifth smaller, or three, four, five. It's much smaller than even Mercer County.
Exactly.
Now, here's what's amazing. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I just want you to think about this. In one day's travel, we went from the northwest end of the island. Moose and Sandy took us all on a trip around the whole island. On the northwest end of the island is, and it used to be a whole lot more dense than it is now. You know, Europeans come in and cut down everything that was good and used it for furniture, the mahogany trees. There is dense rainforest. It is amazing to drive to that little old mountain road. Dense rainforest. Drive a couple more hours. And the drive's not that far. Remember, 84 square miles. It just takes so long because when we're in that dense rainforest and in the mountains, it's like this. Reminds you of West Virginia a little bit. Drive just a couple hours to the far eastern end on Udall Point, and it is arid with scrub brush and cactus. All of this. And then look at the southern part of the island. Beaches, palm trees, coconut trees, banana trees, turquoise, multi-hued blue waters, sunsets that blow your mind, even if there are a few clouds there. Just the glory of all that. Here's this on one end. Here's this on the other. In 84 square miles, you have a total different geography and being. You end up from one place of rainforest. 2 hours later, Joe is almost like, not a sandy desert, but a desert. Isn't that amazing? That boggled my mind. That boggled my mind. Our Redeemer did that. The Lord Jesus Christ created that.
Amen.
And even after the fall, He sustains
all
of that. Even after man's coming through and raping the land of everything that's there. And I mean raping it, not just using it for certain, raping it for monetary gain.
Yes, sir.
Yet, it is. I would agree with folks when you see it and you get to be there. It's like an island paradise. It's an island paradise. You will not see that in West Virginia. Now, in West Virginia, you will still go up to that high mountain up there where the glades are. You'll see a totally different ecosystem. But that's in the 24,181 square mile thing of West Virginia. This is a little 84 square mile island. Our Lord Jesus Christ created all this.
Amen.
Now here we drove around and we seen the rainforest and go to this place where they have gigantic iguanas just walking around everywhere. And you go over to this place and it's arid and it's dry. When on the other end it's hot and wet, sticky. You get over on that, it's not cool, but it's dry and cactus. And then Moose said, and we were coming back around of the southern, southeastern end of the island. He said, I'm going to show you the best place on the island. So we're all, you know, waiting. We're, you know, all four of us are just waiting, anticipating the best place on the island. Man's been there for several years. So we're driving down this bumpy two-lane road. I mean, their four-lane road is a mess. And here it is. Here it comes. There it is, he said. Home Depot. He said, there's the best place on the island. And he meant it, too. He meant it, too. I mean, when you live on an island like that, you know, you can't go out and just cut you down a tree and make you some lumber. Yeah. And now they've got a Home Depot. And it's like, wow. But, truthfully, I would have to say, I know what Moose was getting at. We knew what he was saying. But truthfully, I thought about this. Now, it didn't occur, of course. That big boat pulled in with hundreds of people on it. And they flooded off of it and come in, you know, and the vendors had places set up. So we went over to see all this. And, of course, I looked just like any other tourist. I had on my shorts and my white legs and my hat. So they didn't know. But if one of them had asked me, Joe, had they known that I was on the island there visiting friends and family, and one of them would have asked me, what is the greatest thing to see, the greatest place to be on this island paradise? They have sailing, jet skis, you can go boating, you can go snorkeling, you can go scuba diving, there's bike riding, there are trips to other towns, there's horseback riding, there's swimming, there's all these things in this island paradise. Beautiful. In many places. Where would you go? Where's the best place to go on this island? I would have told them 74 King Carlton Road. A place called Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. There's the best place to be on this tropical island paradise. And I mean that with all my heart. Had it not been for that place and those people, yes, the trip would have been enjoyable. But not near as fulfilling.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. That's it. And not just because I got to preach, but because I've got to hear preaching. Mm-hmm. Got to hear preaching. Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. I'm reminded of what Paul did. You remember that I preached for this one time, Romans chapter 16. You remember that? The gospel preached in salutations. I'm not talking about bragging about somebody, but I'm talking about being thankful to God for somebody.
Yes, sir.
I see. I'm talking about mentioning their name to others and mentioning their name before God, holding them up in prayer because the trip was eye-opening and humbling. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And we spoke of this often. Sitting on that little porch, didn't we? Yeah, but I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that she receive her in the Lord as becometh saints.
Amen.
That's a tall order.
Yes, sir.
As becoming a sanctified people.
Yeah.
A set apart people. And that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many. And of myself also. She actually puts herself into the effort.
Sir.
To take care of us. You see that? Yeah. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks. Unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles.
Amen.
Let us talk about one another like that.
Folks,
we're in the mission field too.
Yes, sir.
But we are in an affluent
mission
field. You understand? Now, I know West Virginia's got some bad places. But folks, we don't have to live like those folks down there have to live.
You're right.
We had a very nice condo that was all paid for us. Why? Because men and women who love Christ didn't want us to have to deal with anything. But you still had to brush your teeth with bottled water. You still had to cook your food with bottled water. Not because there was a storm, but because that's the way it always is now.
Yeah, right.
There is no potable groundwater on that island. By law, if you have a dwelling, you have to have a cistern underneath your house or at least connected to it. And what you have for washing or whatever, not drinking, not potable, but is rainwater. Moose took us up into the mountains just behind Frederickstown. Beautiful view of that town. And there was that big cruise ship sitting there. Now, how long was that pier? Half a mile long? Massive concrete pier. We walked out on it one day, and it was massive. It makes you feel like that tall. And then that big old cruise ship pulled in and made that pier look like a toothpick. And then here Moose takes us back. You can see the mountains when you're down at the pier. He took us back up on one of them high mountains. And you look down over Frederickstead, and it is a joke on the island. It's called FEMA Blue. Do you know what FEMA Blue is? Our government went down there and fixed people's roofs for them when the hurricane come through. You know what it was and what it still is? It's a blue tarp tacked down with furring strips. And they're still that way. They're still that way. Most people live off the government dime, and they want it that way. They want it that way. There are thousands of people on that island, and yet it's just a handful of people that are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Thousands of visitors, tourists, flood that island, and still just a handful of people gather at 74 Kane Carlton to worship God. You know, if a person really worships God, they decide they want to take them a little vacation. You know what the first question you ought to ask yourself and find out about the place you're going? Is there a gospel church where I can gather with God's people while I'm there? Why would you not? Why would you not? Yet, on this island paradise, we've seen abject poverty. I mean abject poverty. You can walk down the street with a bottle of liquor. You can drive your vehicle with an open bottle, as long as you don't go over 0.08. Neil, you'd be sitting right there with that bottle of whiskey, driving down the road, as long as you don't go over the limit. You don't see that in the States, do you? And yet I know there are these religious, self-righteous people say, well, look what happened to that island. Look at that hurricane that hit it. No wonder they got two distilleries there. Well, I'll put this on. I went to one of them. And you get something free when you go there. And I'll figure that one out. You know why the people are like they are? Because they're sinners just like we are.
That's right.
That's why. And I will not dare say that hurricane hit that island or Puerto Rico or the Dominican Republic and destroyed the lives of thousands of people because they're such great sinners.
Exactly.
They are no worse sinners than this man who stands behind this podium here this morning.
That's right. That's right.
Some of those people who lived in that abject poverty, house is just a hovel. I mean a hovel. And they're sitting there with their liquor, and that's what you see. Every day you drive by, that's what you see. Right, Penny? That's what you see them doing every day. Joe, probably 365 days a year. But they are no worse sinner than I am.
Exactly.
Do you hear what I'm saying? Poverty's there. Destruction still persists. You can see the effects. We went up there and you looked at there's all that blue. It looks beautiful. Blue here, blue there. What beautiful roofs. It's blue tarp.
Exactly.
Nailed down with furry strip. Because when you get up close to one, you see it. And then the wind blows there about all the time. And it's ripping some of them, Neil, all to pieces. And the people are still stuck there. Moose wrote them. Use every Saturday. Every Sunday, Moose publishes something in the St. Croix Avis. Some kind of article or something. One day he published it. It came out on Saturday for Sunday's thing. And a man showed up the next Sunday, brought that paper in and said, did you write this? Moose said, yes, I did. He said, I believe this. And Moose is like, wow. You know, wow. He said, I've come down here to start a baseball factory. Well, he did. Come down to start a baseball factory. Give people some jobs. You know what the government said? No. We don't need it. And they've got an oil refinery on the east end of the island that's closed down. And thousands of people lost their jobs. There are very few stop signs put up yet. That's been, what, 6-7 months ago, right? I seen one working stop light. That was it. That was down close to the Home Depot. No, the stoplights are just blown away. If they're hanging, they're not working. Some people still have no power. But the government is building this big mound of dirt so they can have a new baseball field. We drove up a couple streets to go visit Lucy. She made a meal for us. And there was a pothole that just about swallowed Moose Park's van plumb up. Didn't it? And you think, we may be stuck here for a while if this thing bottoms out. Why is this so? It's so? Here's why all this is so. It's because our father Adam rebelled against God in the garden.
Exactly.
That's where it all started. And we're just following along in his footsteps, Joe. By nature, rebellion after rebellion after rebellion after rebellion. We were told of crime. Didn't see any that I was aware of. But crime, government, corruption, and waste persists. Some of the government have been, they're locked up now. We drove by a little prison. I said, well, what's that? He said, that's where we lock up our politicians. Isn't that what he said? That's where we lock up our politicians. They all eventually end up there, he said. And it may have maybe a little tongue-in-cheek, but he still was meaning corruption. It's amazing. I won't go into all of that. Why? Because when Adam fell, we were plunged into a downward spiral from which we cannot rescue ourselves, save God Himself rescue us from it in His Son.
Amen.
Yet, with all of that, there's a small group of people there who endeavor to worship and serve Christ. Proclaim His gospel, the gospel of free, reigning grace. And that small group of people are still sinners, just like everybody else. You know that? They'll tell you that. They'll tell you that. Ecclesiastes 7:20. You know this verse, but think about it. This hit me the other day. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Turn to it. I'll give you just a moment. I want you to look at it. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20. Now, let me tell you the way most people hear this in their mind. Here's the way most people hear it in their mind. For there is not a just man upon earth that sinneth not. Isn't that the way most people think of it? Do you see what I'm getting at now? Now, look at it. There is not a just man upon earth that sinneth not. Now, that's true. In ourselves, there is not a just man upon earth that sinneth not. But that's not what Solomon said, is it?
That's exactly right.
Look at what he said. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good.
Yeah.
Not try, that doeth good. When he does good, he's still sinning.
Exactly.
Do you see what he's saying there?
Yeah.
It dawned on me. I've been preaching this for 32, 33 years. And finally it dawned on me.
Right.
David Wright just the other day. There's not a just man upon earth that even when he's doing good, he is still sinning against God.
Amen.
And I knew that was true. It was true before I even seen it right there, Mason, but I knew it was true. It's exactly what Isaiah meant when he says we're all as unclean thing. All as and what even our righteousnesses are as minstrel rags in God's sight. You folks on the TV, soak that one up. When I put forth my best effort, it is filth in God's sight.
Amen.
That's eye-opening, isn't it?
Hell yeah.
When God really begins to show you that, that's a, because, Mason, even my best efforts are an affront to God.
Yes, sir.
An affront to God. Nevertheless, God has reconciled such people as this.
Amen.
He commended His love toward us in that while we were yet, what? Sinners. Sinners.
Amen.
He reconciled what? Ungodly people.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I thank God for that, don't you?
Sir.
Now, yes, it is true. It is theologically true. All men are sinners.
Mm-hmm.
All men are ungodly, but not all men and women know it.
Exactly.
And it takes the work of the Spirit. Go back and look at John.
Yeah.
The Gospel according to John. It takes the work of the Spirit of God to convince any man or woman that that's what they really are.
Yes,
he will convince the world of what? Sin. You don't convince you. I don't convince you. Gospel preaching itself don't convince you as long as you're unregenerate. But when God breathes life into you, then He will send you that truth and you will find out that even the best that I offer to God has been an affront to God all these years.
Right.
And when He lets you see with anointed eyes the work and the person of Jesus Christ and He gives you faith to believe in Him, it all begins to make sense.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't it? It all begins to make sense. Let me move along. The brothers and sisters in Christ at St. Croix received us fully. Fully. Treated us most graciously.
Amen.
And were more than generous. I will give you just one example of that. One example. And I'm thanking God for the grace of Christ that I've seen revealed there. These people don't have a lot, folks.
Yeah.
We went out. Moose and Sandy already had groceries at our condo when we got there late Tuesday evening, so we wouldn't have to go out and even go to a restaurant. Come here, relax. You've had two flights, one from Raleigh-Durham to Miami, one from Miami to St. Croix. We were all tired, weren't we? Already had food there. The next morning, they come and pick us up and take us to the grocery store. Get you some groceries for the week. You know, granted, they took us out. We went out and ate. You want to do that. But, you know, you can't. It's hard to afford going out doing that three times a day, 7 days. Go out and get you some groceries. So we did. Here all of us was. Six of us in the grocery store. Had a cart there, and Moose and Sandy was getting them a couple things. Here we're getting us more than a couple things. And got a pretty good sized cart load, didn't we? And Penny and I and Sandy goes up to the where you check out. Moose and Sandy and Paul and Paula were still getting just a few more things. And we said, well, here, Sandy, you go ahead and go first, get your little bit of stuff. Then we'll get ours. She said, Moose told me you're not buying this. And they bought our groceries, didn't they? That's because of the grace of God, people. And they weren't trying to impress us. This is just what they do.
Right.
And both of them work. I hope you understand that.
Yeah.
They're working. They have odd jobs that they have. Ellen, they have to work. And I guarantee you, I don't know this because I would not dare ask the man. But I bet you he spends most of whatever retirement he's got, most Social Security. You know where it goes? To taking care of people when he has them come down.
Right.
And to help take care of that building. He and Sandy live in the back of the church building around 500 square feet. And that's it. I don't know anything about that. I go in and turn on my spigot and I can drink right out of it. You know what I mean? Don't have to worry about it.
Exactly.
It comes out of a deep well. They have to save their shower water to flush their toilets because water is so scarce. You know? And David, they live that way because they want to, for the glory of God in preaching the gospel in that little place
right,
down there called St. Croix.
Amen. Oh,
yeah, they can go out and snorkel every once in a while, but I guarantee you, Joe, it's not an island paradise all the time
exactly.
to them.
Yeah.
Hmm? That's what the tourists see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
They're not coming back into the back streets. As a matter of fact, they tell you, if you're a white person, you'd some streets you stay off of.
Exactly. go.
And at nighttime, you don't go there at all.
That's right.
These people live there. Why? For the glory of God. Amen. Think about it. Midweek service is usually on Tuesday. Moose changed it to Wednesday so that we could be there. We would have been really beat. You know, anyway, changed it to Wednesday. There was eight of us there in that Wednesday midweek service. Remember, four of us come from here. The other two was pastor and his wife. So it was two members there, two ladies. And they were just as happy to have been there if it had been a crowd of 5,000. Moose and Sandy Parks, tremendously generous and hardworking. They do what they do, not so they can live high on the hog, but to make sure the gospel continues to be preached.
Right.
That people are taken care of when they have them come down and preach for them. Anthony and Lucy Tellion, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it, most hospitable. The woman sitting here, and she's feeding us, it's a carport, and on the back is a cinder block concrete room. That's where they stayed the whole night when that hurricane hit. It's where their washer and dryer's at. Their house is still two-thirds missing. Her husband's working 12 hours a day trying to rebuild that thing and trying to build it out of cinder block and concrete because the other parts that was wood, gone, scattered all over the neighborhood. They're still living. What is it, one bedroom and a kitchen in that carport with that thing. And that woman sat there and fed us a wonderful meal. Mason Lilly, I've never heard her complain one time. Not one time. Now, I'm not saying she never complains, but she didn't complain to us. And that's the way it ought to be. If you're going to complain, complain to God. And then see how He deals with you for it. I can't, you complain to me, I can't teach you the lesson. All I can shake my head, yeah, or get mad at you and scream at you, whatever. Same way for you, me, you know? I'm not preaching down to you. No, that woman sat there and graciously served. Wouldn't even eat with us. And Moose said, don't get upset with it. This is her way. She sat there and watched us eat. If we needed something, what'd she do? She'd get it. And two-thirds of her house is gone.
Exactly.
It's just being rebuilt slowly as her husband can do it, working 12 hours a day, trying to do this. And Peter Guerrero, he came down one evening and we were all inside. And everybody decided, well, let's go out on the beach and sit. But for some reason, I could tell it seemed like Peter didn't want to do that. So I went out and sat on the condo porch of it, and he sat down there with me. I said, well, ain't you going to go down? He said, no, I'd rather stay right here. And for, I guess it was, what, 2 hours you all were out there? Beautiful, beautiful view. And he and I sat there and talked about Christ and had heart-to-heart talks about things we've been through and things that I will not share with you because that's between he, I, and God. And the man, David, didn't know me from Adam. But once we started talking about the gospel,
yes, sir.
He knew we were of the same spirit.
There you go.
Believed the same God. And this man opened up to me. And then Helena, she was one of the other ladies that was there on the Wednesday night. I think maybe she's renting her place. I really don't know. I didn't ask. Still got the blue tarp. That's all she's got. Blue tarp for a roof. But just keeps trodding along, Joe. So like I said, we had eight for the midweek. There was about 15, give or take a few more or less, for the Sunday morning lesson that Moose gave, and it was on prayer. And if you can, go to Free Grace Radio and listen to that lesson. It's good. A good lesson on prayer. And then I turned around and looked, and after Moose taught, I turned around and looked, and there must have been 15 to 20 more people walking in that building. They usually have around, what, 10, 11, 12? There was over 30, maybe 40 people showed up. And Moose told Sandy, he said, if even one of these were to make a profession of faith, you may be going back to the States by yourself, and we'll stay here with them. You understand what I'm saying? The concern that the man has for men's souls, God help me to be like that.
There you go.
Joe, I complained when I got to mow the grass with gloves and a toboggan on. They got very little grass to mow. You know. But I'll tell you this. Those people that gather there love the gospel. Because that's what they wanted to talk about, not complain about what they went through a few months ago.
Right.
Now, they talked about what they went through, but not complain about it.
There you go.
Their glory was, here's four people from West Virginia, from the States, come down, and they want to talk about Christ with us and get to know us.
Amen.
Find out what happened to us. God help me. I love to talk. God help me to shut up sometimes. There's a time to talk. That's when I'm standing right here.
Yes, sir.
But most of the time, what people need is just the ear. They don't even need an answer from you. They don't need a solution. They just need an ear. Don't you agree? Just need to talk. Let us pray for them. Let us pray for them. And maybe, we'll talk about this later, maybe even a little more than just pray for them. But pray for them, let's do. Turn to Numbers chapter 6, and I will leave you with this. Numbers chapter 6. I think, this will be familiar when I read it to you, but let me give it to you in the light of the new covenant. And you know what it is. I thank God that our great high priest is always doing this for us and being this for us. And listen to what it says, Numbers chapter 6, verse 23. Are you there? Number 623. Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying. Now, who did Aaron and his sons represent? Who did they picture? Who did they figure? Who did they shadow? Jesus Christ the Lord. And look. And on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. And remember who the children of Israel were. What all they did. 40 years. Wasn't it? And yet God said, do this. Bless the children of Israel. Look at it, saying this. And this is what Christ, Mason, I believe this is what Christ is thinking often when as he's seated on that throne at the right hand of God the Father. It's what he's saying about us. Look at it. The Lord bless thee and keep thee.
Amen.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.
They shall put my name upon the children of Israel. Like a stamp. Do you see it?
Amen.
Like a stamp. And listen, because this high priest is doing this, my name will be stamped on this people. That's us, folks.
Yes, sir.
That's us. And I will bless them.
Amen.
No matter what your circumstances look like, that's true. Every day of our life.
Amen. Amen.
God help us to quit the belly aching and the complaining and the murmuring. God help us. Because we're in a good state. I don't mean West Virginia. I'm talking about a position.
Yes, sir.
We're in Christ.
Amen.
There's no better place to be in this whole thing.
Amen.
That God created. That's in Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, be with us as we eat together. Forgive us, strengthen us, and help us. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.